The preaching of this book that we decided we would try to do someday, and we're finally getting into it. We have had verses 1 through 10. Tonight we would start with verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. But let's back up and read through 14. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and understanding. I was looking for something here. Oh yes, verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Paul said in verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. For the wise men called me this afternoon and told me to greet the church, say that their trip to Brazil was delayed until tomorrow. They'll be leaving tomorrow at 4:20, and they're really thrilled about it. They just had to wait for the postman to come with their visas, and they're going down to the post office in the morning, and they'll be leaving in the afternoon, and they'll be in Brazil Tuesday. They're really happy about that. But he said to greet the church, and while we were talking on the phone, he told me that at West Bend, where he has spent this morning's service, that a woman was baptized. A man and a woman came to church, and the woman was baptized. And when the man saw what happened to her in baptism, he said, can I be baptized too? So husband and wife were both baptized, and a new family in Christ has begun today. I said to Brother Wiseman, you greet those people from me, because I am a member of the same body that they just joined. That's what Paul is saying here. I thank God. I am just so happy that somebody else got saved. We become one with the Lord and one with one another. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That young man and woman that were baptized this morning now need to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Always increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might. And you know how a man is made strong. You know the theory of gaining strength. The theory behind weightlifting is that you take an object that causes you some or furnishes some resistance, and you have to go against that resistance. And as you go against that resistance, you build up muscle. And so maybe a man will start with 100 pounds or however big he is. Some men might start with 200 pounds. Some might start with 10 pounds. I don't know. But anyway, you take that weight and you lift it up and down until your arms get tired. Then you set the weight down and you go and eat some protein, because they say that protein builds the muscle. Okay, so you and I go out and we face this world head on, and we go back and we get our protein, and we have spiritual muscle built into our Christian life so that we can stand against the enemy. We are not a bunch of weaklings. God does not have a sissified army. The bravest people, the strongest people in the world today, not physically speaking, but spiritually speaking, is the Christian. They are the Christians. The Christians are the strongest people in the world today. It takes a man to be a Christian. It takes a real live fish to go upstream. Any dead old fish can float down the stream. Any dead fish can float with the crowd. There's a way of the cross and there's a way of the crowd. And it's not the way of the crowd that leads home. It's the way of the cross that leads home. And Jesus said, except you deny yourself daily and take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. The Lord would have us eat our protein and do our work and gain strength in Him, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, to Tonight we want to talk verses 12, 13, and 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Giving thanks unto the Father. Now this is one way that we can walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, because it is pleasing to the Lord when his people are thankful. And I'll tell you, if anybody ought to be thankful, it's you and me. Amen. You and me that have walked in darkness and lived in sin, and now we are in the light, and now we can see, we know where we are going, we have direction, we are not floundering about aimlessly in this life, but we have a goal, praise God, and we know what that goal is. And the Lord is pleased with our thankfulness. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. You know, the Lord wants us to offer that sacrifice of praise to him continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Now, we've heard people say that, well, God knows my heart, and it's down in my heart. But Jesus also said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And when a man opens his mouth and begins to talk, you can tell what's in his heart. Jesus can tell what's in his heart when he doesn't talk. But you and I can hear a man talk. We can feel his spirit, and we can tell just what's in that man's heart. So he said, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. We have a continual high priest. He made the sacrifice, our priest made the sacrifice of himself on Calvary's cross. He offered himself for you and for me. And now he is a high priest continually. He doesn't know death. Death is foreign to him. In fact, death was foreign to him. When he came from heaven and he walked this earth, death was foreign to him. No wonder in the garden he cried, oh, let this cup pass from me if it's possible. I don't understand this. What is death? I'm used to life. I am the life. Death was foreign to him. It was a stranger to him. You and I are acquainted with death. We get used to death. We see it all around us, but not Jesus. Jesus wept at the funeral of, or at the graveside of Lazarus. John 11:35, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Yes, he was a man and he was torn inside. But I can still see him in the film there. Can't you tonight? When he looked into that grave, into that dark, dark sepulcher. There he is. Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. He had just said to Martha and Mary, oh, just believe God. Fear not. I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. And we need to be thankful. And the Lord is pleased with our thankfulness. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips. When is the last time that you opened your mouth at home and said, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do you kneel down at night at your bedside and thank the Lord for your portion of health? Do you kneel down by your bedside at night before you retire in the evening and you thank the Lord for the home that you live in, the house, the shelter that you have, the clothes that you wear? God has been good to his creation. Whether they are saved or lost, every man needs to praise God. Even if an unbeliever hesitates or refuses to praise him. Giving thanks unto the Father. Thankfulness is included in the sacrifice of praise that you and I are commanded to offer unto him continually, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That word meet, in the Old Testament we have it, in the New Testament we have it. In the Old Testament it's number 58:28, and it means aid or help. Genesis 2:18 says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. In other words, when God saw Adam and there was no one to be at his side, he made the woman from the rib of the man. And she came out of the man, out of his side. She didn't come out of his foot to be trampled on. And she came out of his side to walk beside him. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. That word meet means qualified. It means fit. I will make him an help that is fit for him. A help that is proper for him. And in the New Testament, we have that word here in Colossians 1:12, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That means that he has made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has made us qualified. He has qualified us. He has made us sufficient. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Boil it all down, get the meaning out of it, and it's actually saying this. You and I are unfit for heaven. We were not fit for heaven, but Jesus Christ came, shed his blood, gave his precious sinless life for you and me. And now he has made us fit for heaven. He has qualified us to enter those pearly gates and to spend eternity in the presence of Jesus Christ and all of his holy angels. I think that that calls for continual praise, giving thanks unto his name. Amen. No one by his own merits made himself fit for heaven. There is not one man, one woman on the face of the earth that was ever born to Adam and Eve that could make themselves fit for heaven. Only Jesus Christ could do that. We sinned, and when Adam and Eve sinned in that Garden of Eden, death passed upon all men. Our hopes were dashed. Our hopes were gone forever. We were without hope in the world. We were without God. We were without salvation. We were doomed. We were damned. We were eternally consigned to a lake of fire, to a hell, to darkness, utter darkness, if you please. That's the hope. That's the chance that you and I have had. And if any man raises himself up and says, I wasn't that bad. I didn't deserve hell. You're a fool, mister. You're a fool, sister, because you are nothing. Jesus Christ is everything. He made us fit. He qualified us to go to heaven. There is no other way that you and I could ever make it to heaven. If there were, Jesus Christ would never have had to die. That's what he meant when he said in the Garden of Eden, if it were possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me. He was accepting the impossible situation that man had found himself in when he had sinned. And now Jesus Christ said, I know it's not possible, so I say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. It's the only way that I can save mankind. Don't you love him tonight?
Amen.
That's what he did for you and me. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, made us qualified, made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We are partakers. He made us partakers. We are not purchasers of an inheritance. And by the way, there is an inheritance. Romans 8:16 and part of 17 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You should know tonight if you're a child of God. If you do not know whether or not you would go to heaven tonight, if you died tonight, you are not a child of God. This is something that you have within you. This is something you know. Paul wrote it to the Romans. He said, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I have the full assurance tonight that I am a child of God and that my sins are forgiven. I couldn't purchase heaven as hard as I tried, but he made me fit for heaven by his blood. And that spirit that he gave unto me bears witness with his spirit that I am a child of God. And now, if I am a child of God, then I am an heir. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Now that's just about more than a human being that's born again can take. An heir of God and joint heirs with Christ. Jesus Christ is going to inherit all things. And now the Bible says that you and I, because he made us meet, because he made us qualified, because he made us fit to be partakers, we are going to be joint heirs of that inheritance. That is absolutely tremendous. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And while men scramble here for a little handful of gold, for a measly, puny little $1 million, or even a measly, puny little $1 billion, it is nothing I tell you, it will pale into insignificance when it is compared to the glory that shall be revealed on that day. Oh, saints of God, by God's grace, we're going to make it. And there is an inheritance, and we are going to receive that inheritance. Hallelujah. Well, that ought to be enough. That ought to be enough. Hallelujah. Keep toiling on. I want that inheritance. I want my inheritance. I want it. Praise the Lord. Well, you say that's selfish. Well, I don't know if that's selfish. I don't think so. I don't think that's selfish at all, because I think that to want your inheritance is to want the presence of Jesus, because He is our inheritance. Did you know that He is everything, really? He is really everything. He is the whole creation. Jesus Christ is everything. There is nothing without Him. Everything was made for Him. Everything was made by Him. By Him, everything is held together. He is all. He is all. He is all in all. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And I am glad that man had nothing to do with the will of God here. Who instructed him? Who gave him wisdom? Who gave him counsel? Oh my, praise the Lord. I heard a man preach one time, and he said, way back in eternity, the three members of the Godhead got together and counseled one with another. That's right. And two men from this church left here and followed him, that man. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Praise God. I'm glad that man could not tamper with the will of God. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, after that ye believed. And I might say something here by way of teaching saints at Pentecostal Assembly. Don't go out and grab somebody and drag them to this altar and try to pump the Holy Ghost into them. Brother, they've got to become a believer first. The Bible teaches that unless they believe and unless they repent, they're not going to have a genuine experience with the Holy Ghost. You may issue some counterfeit experience to them, and they'll never be satisfied, and they'll never know what it's all about. They've got to come and have a faith experience with Jesus Christ. You've got to deal with the sin question before you deal with the Holy Ghost blessing. Amen. You have got to make people understand that they have sinned, that they have transgressed the law of God, and that they need to repent. And that sin needs to be loosened up in their lives and washed away by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Then, and only then, can the Holy Ghost come in. He comes in to clean vessels. Listen to it again. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. Excuse me. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, after that ye believed, after that ye believed. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? After ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Listen to this. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Praise God. You see, I want that inheritance. I want it because I was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and that is the earnest of our inheritance. That's the down payment. That's a foretaste. That's what that word means, earnest. You put down a little earnest money. That means that there's more to come. God gave us the Holy Ghost. He said He gave us a little down payment. He gave us a little foretaste of heaven. And now He said there's more to come. If you like what I gave you, you just hang on. I've got more. Praise the Lord. And when you and I get to heaven, oh, I'll tell you, I prayed for this service and I said, oh God, let there be an explosion of praise and worship in our church services. But just think, when you and I get to heaven and it's more than the down payment,
not just a little mercy drop round us about us falling, but showers of blessings. Praise the Lord. When you get in the presence of God and when you receive the full inheritance, it is going to be something out of this world. Praise the Lord. Unto the praise of His glory. Then we go back to Colossians 1. Which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There is an inheritance. What does that mean, of the saints in light? Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Doesn't the Bible say in what? Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. If you want light, my friend, if you are stumbling about in darkness, open up your Bible and begin to read, because the entrance of this word bringeth life, or bringeth light. Now, many times we as Christians lose our way. Oh, yes, we do. When we neglect the Scripture, we don't read the Scripture like we should, and our prayer life diminishes. We need to get back in that Word and back on our knees if we're ever going to see where we're going. Or we can drift off into the darkness and do things that are wrong and not feel wrong doing those things. That's darkness, brother. That's darkness. I just heard Vesta Mangan a while ago, and I don't know if you know her. She's from city in Louisiana, and she was Kenneth Phillips' pastor. She told about little Kenneth Phillips when he was a 9-year-old boy and how he was always sitting on the front pew of the church. That was his place. He always sat there and he listened to every word. But once in a while he'd go out and he'd peek over the fence, she said. He peeked over the fence and he watched the ball game. All he did was watch a ball game. She said when that boy came back to church, Kenneth would sit in the back pew of the church because he didn't feel worthy to sit up front anymore, until he repented and got that worldliness and carnality out of his heart. I'll tell you, now there's a man that's got a conscience. There's a man that's got a sensitive conscience. And that man is a mighty preacher today. He's a mighty evangelist. He's got the Word of God burning in his soul. Some of you heard him preach down in Texas, and you'll never forget it. You'll never forget it, because it was the genuine anointing of the Holy Ghost on that man's life. But let me tell you, it comes from having a sensitive conscience. A sensitive conscience. We can drift so easily into the realm of carnality and worldliness. Again and again, the Bible teaches us that we, as the children of God, are children of light. Sister Karen Keene talked about it tonight in John, or Matthew 6. As children of God, we are the children of light, as opposed to the children of darkness. We are not the children of darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Light speaks of the realm where there is no night and no sin. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The power of darkness. The power of darkness. I preached a sermon here a while ago, the bondage of tradition. And I said, and I proved it from the Scripture, that the bondage of tradition is a stronger bondage than the bondage of sin. Because Jesus could forgive men their sins, but they would not loose themselves from the bondage that they were in. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness. Oh, what a statement. The power of darkness. There are animals that are born blind, but after a few days, their eyelids are unsealed and they are delivered from the power of darkness. Darkness has tremendous power. Jim Gale, good friend of ours and of this church, walks in darkness physically, but not spiritually. He has good eyesight spiritually, but he walks physically in the darkness. You have seen him. You have seen him stumble in the stairs. I myself, being a poor leader of the blind, walked him right into a wall one time, and he just smashed into it, and it was my fault. Sometimes we lead him down the stairs, and we get a little ahead or something, and we leave the poor man alone, or any blind man. Oh, I tell you, darkness has binding power. I remember Jim Gale standing up here one time being so blessed in the Holy Ghost, and it just broke my heart. As he got here, he's standing here, and he got so happy in the Lord, and he started just dancing around. And when he was finished dancing, he was off somewhere, and he didn't know where he was. And he was pleading for me to come and get him back to the platform. And he was over here going like this to the wall for me to come to him. I'll tell you, it was a pitiful sight, and I just really had to thank God for my eyesight. And I said, Lord, I'm going to use my eyes to read your word. I'm going to use my eyes and set them not on any wicked thing, but only on the things of God. Praise the Lord. Thank God for your eyesight tonight. Because there is darkness, and the Bible says we have been delivered from the power of darkness. Darkness is a state of ignorance. Back to, or over to, 1 Thessalonians. That's the next book. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Why? Because you're not in the darkness. You are in the light. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. But when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Praise God. We are not of darkness. We are light. Hallelujah. And while there's a world out there that doesn't even know that Jesus is coming, and you can tell them that he's coming, and they don't even receive your message. I remember walking home from work years ago, and I sat down on the curb with my neighbor who was watering his lawn on a hot summer day as he sat there with a hose in his hand on the edge of the curb. And I sat down with him, set my lunch bucket down, and the news was shaping up, and everything just seems to be pointing to the coming of the Lord. And I said to him, it sure looks like Jesus is coming soon. He looked at me and he began to scoff. And he said, I've heard that story for years and years and years. I remember some people, he said, that he knew personally that sold everything they had. They went out on a hillside and sat there waiting for doomsday or waiting for Jesus to come. Well, for you and me, it's not doomsday, friend. Praise the Lord. It's a glorious day. It's the blessed hope. It's the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That man that said those very words was fulfilling the scripture himself when he said that. When he said, where is the promise of his coming? That's just what the Bible said people would say. Darkness. They're in darkness. They can't help it. I said this morning in church that you and I have the light. We are the light of the world since Jesus left this world. As long as I am in the world, he said, I am the light of the world. I leave the world. Now you are the light of the world. We've got to shine in these dark places so that men and women can find their way. They're in darkness. Unless the light shines, they can't find their way out of the darkness. God has no other plan than to send you as his light that they might see their way. You pass your neighbor day by day. You talk on the telephone to people that you have never witnessed to. You are not presenting light to them. You are leaving them in darkness. And they'll never, on their own, find their way out. Never. God has no other plan than for you and I to tell them that we might receive the reward. Praise the Lord. I said darkness is a state of ignorance. Amen. People that live in darkness are living in ignorance. People in darkness don't know what color something is. What color is this? I don't know. What color is this? I don't know. Well, it's beautiful. I can't see it. They're in darkness. And until that light shines, they'll never be able to see their way out of the darkness that they are in. Think of the many majestic, stately ships that have perished in the fog, in the darkness, because they could not tell where they were going. And in the darkness, ugliness and beauty, friend and foe, are all one and the same. In the darkness, men. The power of darkness. There is a spiritual binding power of darkness. Scores of helpless babies have been sacrificed to crocodiles. You've read it, I've read it, we know it to be a fact that babies have been sacrificed to crocodiles. Why? Because of the power of darkness. The power of darkness. Everybody say, the power of darkness. The power of darkness. And millions starve to death in India. You should talk to Brother Marar about these things. Because they believe their ancestors have been reincarnated in the multitude of rats that infest certain portions of India. Millions starve to death in India because of darkness, because of the power of darkness, because they believe that their ancestors have been reincarnated in the multitude of rats. The rats live because they're sacred. The rats live and eat the food, and the people starve to death. And we send money over to feed them because we're a great nation. What we need to send to these nations is the gospel of Jesus Christ and send the food secondary. But the food should be sent. Yes, I'm not saying that at all. The Bible teaches giving food and giving to help the poor. But not without the gospel, not without the gospel, not without the gospel. It's the gospel that will bring light. The gospel will bring illumination. The gospel will bring these people out of the darkness that they are in. The darkness that is causing the multitude of deaths by starvation. Also, the cow is sacred over in India. Brother Marar told me about this. In certain sections of India, they won't milk a cow. They won't kill a cow. They won't eat a cow. That cow has to die on its own. Millions of people starve to death while there's milk in the cow's bag and while there's meat on the cow's bones. Millions starve to death. That's the power of darkness. And when Paul writes this letter to the Colossians and he said, we've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. I think that those are powerful words, beautiful words. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. There's a beautiful passage of scripture there. Sin and unbelief keep men in darkness. Sin and unbelief keep men in darkness. John 3, beginning at verse 19. And this is the condemnation. Please understand that tonight. This is the condemnation. This is why people are lost. This is why people go to hell. This is why people are not saved tonight. Hear it. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. That's why the world hates your Christian testimony today. That's why they hate it when they want to sin and you refuse to sin. That's why they hate you when you reprove their wickedness. Because you are light. And the Bible says, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. You can expect to be hated by this world. What fellowship hath light with darkness? Paul said to the Corinthians. For everyone that hateth, that doeth evil, hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. That word reproved could mean discovered. Lest his deeds be discovered. When the lights go on, the cockroaches run out of sight, don't they? And when the lights go on, it used to be anyway that the sinners would go out of sight. But now I see things that are unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. Things you read about in the paper sometimes happen right across the street, down by the riverbank. And my wife and I have seen some of these things, and we just shut our eyes and shudder. Oh, God. Oh, God. The light, the light, the light. They're in darkness. We've got to get the light to these people. And we try. And we try. I've made it a point when somebody goes and sits on that bench over there on the other side of the street to meander over there and strike up a conversation. And I've had some promise. They've never fulfilled their promises. Why? Maybe it's because they love the darkness. They don't want their evil deeds reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. You people here do truth. You are here tonight because you want to hear the truth. You want to hear what God has to say. In fact, you want to know if there's any darkness in you. You want it preached against so that you'll leave it. You love hard preaching. You love strong sermons. You love to be told what's right and wrong because you are in the light. That's what it says. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest. Search me, O God. I bear my heart before you. See if there be any wicked way in me. O God, deliver me from all darkness. Shine the spotlight of heaven on my soul, into every crease and cranny and crook and corner of my heart and my soul. Let me see, Lord, is there anything that's displeasing to you? Get it out of me, Lord. Take it out, O God. I don't want it living in me. That's the way we need to be. Praise the Lord. Statement: sin and unbelief keep men in darkness. Sin and unbelief keep men in darkness. You remember the story that I told maybe years ago. It bears repeating. Although I've forgotten the details, let me just sum it all up in a few words here. A lady was witnessed to over and over, and she would not believe. She would not accept the light. And finally, these people told her about the healing power of the Lord, and she wouldn't believe that. And something happened. Somebody in the neighborhood was definitely healed. Let's say that it was a withered hand or two blind eyes or two deaf ears or something very dramatic. It was something that was very evident in the person, not a stomach ache or a headache, but something that was visible, something that was tangible. You could see it. You could put your eyes on it. It was there. You could touch it. It was there. And when this person was healed, she said, "I don't believe it." And they said, "I'll go get him." And she said, "No, don't go get him." And the person went and got the one that was healed and brought them over there. And this woman turned her head, put her hands over her face and said, "I don't believe it. I don't believe it." That's darkness, brother. That's darkness. Statement: sin and unbelief keep men in darkness. Sin and unbelief keep men in darkness. We're talking about the power of darkness tonight. I tell you, darkness has tremendous power. You try to drive your automobile from here to the city tonight, take any highway you want without your headlights, you'll probably get in trouble before you arrive. And nothing less than the power of God can redeem a man from this overwhelming darkness. Nothing but the power of God. And that's what happened. Listen. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness. Do you and I realize what we were delivered from tonight? Remember what you were? And now look where you are today? Oh, let's get into that. Let's get into that. He saved us from the dominion of sin. He saved us from the dominion of Satan. He saved us from the damnation of hell. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 9, 10, and 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen to this. And such were some of you. And such were some of you. Just think of that. But you've been delivered from the power of those things. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. Doesn't it feel good? Doesn't it feel good to be washed? Have you ever worked out in the devil's old brickyard? Have you ever worked out in the pig pen? Have you ever worked out in the hay field? You got all that prickly straw and hay down your t-shirt, or if you had a t-shirt on, and you're itching all over, and you're sweaty and smelly, and you get in the shower. Oh, and that refreshing water comes over your hair and down your face, and you put your arm up, and you wash yourself, and you're clean again. Oh, you can stand yourself now. Others can stand you. Oh, what a deliverance. What a deliverance. Now, the Bible says, such were some of you. You know what you were? You were filthy fornicators, filthy idolaters, filthy adulterers, effeminate, abusers of yourself with mankind. You stole things that didn't belong to you. You coveted things that you should not have coveted. You got drunk. You were a reveler. You were an extortioner. Such were some of you. And then you took a bath in the precious blood of Jesus. You were washed in the fountain that was open for sin at Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Oh, I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Praise God. I praise you for it, Lord. I praise you for sins forgiven. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, Andre and Osaya. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Justified means just as you had never sinned. The Lord has justified you. He has made you just as if you have never sinned. What a bath. What a cleansing. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Ephesians 5, 7 and 8. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Oh, Paul is saying, saints of God, don't ever go back in that darkness. Don't be partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Praise the Lord. Walk like you had a bath. Walk like you have clean, fresh clothes on. Amen. 1 Peter 2, 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Sin is as opposed to holiness as darkness is to light. Statement, sin is as opposed to holiness as darkness is to light. Sin is as opposed to holiness as darkness is opposed to light. Complete, extreme opposite. Total, absolute opposite. Sin, holiness. Darkness, light. Now he says, walk like you're over here. Walk like you're in the light. Walk in the light that you have. And when we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will keep you clean. Oh, praise the Lord. You don't only get one chance at a cleansing, you know. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Okay, we've been delivered from the power of, not only were we pulled out of darkness, we've been translated. To translate means to change from one place, one position or condition to another. To translate, to change from one place, from the world of iniquity that you and I were living in when Jesus found us and washed us. He changed us from that place, from that position, from that sinful condition, and he put us in another. Translate means transfer. We've been transferred from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. In other words, we have literally been removed from the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness, to the kingdom of Jesus, which is the kingdom of light. Praise God. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption. Redemption. Do you know what redemption means? That means a buying back. A buying back. I should pay more attention to the stories I hear. But I heard the story about the boy that built this beautiful little ship to play with, and he took it down to the river, and he started playing with this little boat or ship that he had made. And the current came along, and it took a hold of his boat and carried it away out of his reach, out of his grasp. And he ran down alongside the river bank, and he couldn't catch up with it. Because of other obstructions along the way, the ship got away from him. This little ship that he made got away from him. And one day, I don't know how long later, maybe years later, he was roaming the streets of a city, and he walked by a pawn shop, and he saw that ship in there. He went into the pawn shop, and he talked to the clerk, and he said, I would like to buy that ship back. And the price was given, and the boy took out the money. He paid the price. He looked at that ship and he said, I made you and now I redeemed you. That's just what the Lord did to you and me. He created us and we got caught in the current of sin, and we were dirty and we were in darkness and we were lost. And then we were sold, and then Jesus came and bought us back, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. The problem is that you and I were sold under sin, but Jesus Christ purchased us back by his blood. What was the price? The price was his precious blood. The word ransom. Ransom means to obtain the release of a captive by paying the demanded price. To obtain the release of a captive. You and I were captives of Satan. But Jesus Christ paid the demanded price, which was no less than his blood, his very life. And no one else could pay the demanded price for all of us. All were sold under sin. In whom we have redemption through his blood.